Father, I want to thank you for everything that you've done here and bringing these men together, those that may or may not listen. Lord, I just ask that you would speak through me, that you would calm my nerves and help me to be fluent, to be real, and to be accurate. Lord, bless these men, bless their day and the time that we spend together. Keep everybody who goes on the hike safe. Bring them back without injury, Lord. And Father, help us to leave here hearing exactly what it is we need to hear from you. In Jesus' name, amen. I'm going to jump around a little bit. We're going to touch on a couple of different things. But basically, what we're talking about is finishing. And I just happened to grab this shirt accidentally, and I looked at it and like, how fitting to start off the teaching. On the back it says finisher, and I was hoping Andy was going to make it because he's done more of these than I have, the Spartan races. And he shared some of those He shared my two experiences with me, and he knows I didn't like the beginning of the race very much. It took me a while to settle in. This is actually the wrong shirt after I realized what I had grabbed. It's the second shirt, the second race that I finished, and it was more a pride. I mean, obviously the races where you want to finish and you feel accomplished, but for me, that was the race that I blew out my Achilles, and I still finished the race. And
would you blow out in this one?
This one I didn't blow anything out. This one was just I cried a lot in the beginning. And but It probably was. I think that was also the race where I was on the monkey bars or whatever, and I have one arm shorter than the other, and I kind of missed my reach, and I'm just kind of spinning around, and Andy volunteers to pick me up or something, I don't remember, and I'm just like, just point me in the right direction or something. My point in bringing that up is that was 100% flesh. Both those races for me were 100% flesh in wanting to finish, pushing myself beyond my limits. Even when I blew my Achilles, I pushed through the pain. I did whatever. I finished the race, and it was self-gratification. There was no, I'm trying to remember. I'm pretty sure we prayed before the race, but at the end of the day, though, it was for the flesh. It was Nick Higgins finished this race, and on top of that, Nick Higgins finished the race with a blown Achilles. So for me, it was like, yeah, you know. So I went on this hike, as you know, and I gave you the funny spots Wednesday night. Today we're going to get a little real on what really took place out there for me. We started Sunday around 2:30. I think we got in 7 miles. We got to our campsite at 7:30, and I honestly don't remember how much. I don't think the terrain was super tough that day. I know we went up some stuff, but even then, I was kind of happy-go-lucky. It was Sunday. You know, there were no responsibilities, per se, in my life that I had to deal with. But I was a little wore out, and so we got to Sunday morning. Brian and I beforehand that night and into the morning, we're like, okay, we need to make up some miles, because we were about, I gave him some pretty strict goals that we had to be out by Sunday, and I let him plan the whole thing. He calculated the miles, he broke it down, you know, okay, this is going to be tough terrain, so we can do less miles if we have to, and we can make up miles on the flats and all this stuff. So Monday we pushed, and well, he pushed, I was dragged a little, but during that time frame, Monday for me, it set in that, okay, I'm not at work. That was starting to stress me out a little bit. But eventually the pain took over, and it was, you know, why am I here, Lord? The goal for me was I wanted to finish the 100-mile race, and then through the conversations Brian and I had and other people that I had just nonchalantly had talked to, is you want a 20 to 35-pound pack. If you go any heavier than that, you're not going to be able to finish. The whole training thing, so on and so forth. And, you know, just the little things. And so as we're going, I weigh my pack the night before. I'm packing it up, and it was like 48 pounds. And Brian shoots me a text, says, that's too heavy. And I'm thinking to myself, there's really nothing in my pack, you know, never doing this. There's nothing really in my pack that I dare to really take out. And so my pack, I don't remember what the weight of my pack was. So probably the weight of my pack, my tent, some things like that that I probably should have updated in regards to getting lighter stuff. But in my mind, I'm like, hey, I'm Nick Higgins. I don't care. I'm going to prove it wrong. I'm going to lug this 48-pound pack all the way through. And, you know, originally the comment was made that the stress that I was under through the spring from work is I needed a sabbatical. I just wanted to get away and unplug and reconnect with the Lord. And there was a lot of battles going on in regards to finding a boom truck operator, deciding if I needed a project manager type person. There was just so much stuff that I personally was overwhelmed with, and I needed to get away. Well, my idea of getting away was finding a cabin somewhere, lighting a fire in a fireplace and looking at the lake or whatever and just chilling and praying and reading a little bit. I had no idea what I was getting myself into when Brian invited me on this hike. So as we're hiking, I'm watching these people, as I said, fly by me like I was going backwards and stuff. And the first day was me complaining to the Lord, you know, why am I here? You know, in my mind, I was hoping for, and I said it Wednesdays, that burning bush moment, that moment where you really, really hear from God. And not necessarily an audible voice. I mean, that would have been cool. But but knowing that it was really him, knowing that there's no doubt that God was speaking to me, and no confusion of, you know, was that me or was that the world or whatever. So I'm complaining because I didn't train. And I say all these things, finishing the hike, or when I came out, all of this was by design, 100%. God used every aspect, everything took place the way it was supposed to take place. So as I'm going Monday, I'm arguing and back and forth with God about, you know, why am I here? Why do I do this to myself? The inclines were unimaginable, and then running out of water that day. Actually, did we run out of water that day, or that was Tuesday? No, that was that day. Yeah, so it's all a big blur to me now. Well, we get to the top of this mountain, and we're overseeing. We actually take time this time to look at the view because I'm just completely dead, and that's probably the only reason. And I look over, and as I was telling you Wednesday, he's showing me the fire tower. At the time, he was joking. I don't think he was really joking. I think he really knew and was just trying to play dumb. But he told me we had to go over to that mountain, which seemed like it was 10 miles away. And I think it actually was. But as we're going, I'm arguing back and forth with God. You know, I'm not hearing from you. There were times where I was literally crying. And then I was convincing myself that, you know, I wanted to be out, and then my pride was kicking in. I needed to finish, because now it was coming back to all you guys and having to own up, I couldn't do it. I didn't finish. To my family, my wife, you know, battling that as being a failure. So things really started that night. I was so exhausted that I just fell asleep. We set tent at 8:30. I get up the next morning. I was all packed up before Brian, and I went and sat away from him where he couldn't see me bawl, and praying to God, because we had to go 3/10 of a mile out of our way just so we could get water, which I didn't want to go 10 steps out of my way at that point. So not only did we go 3/10 of a mile out of our way, it was downhill. So that meant we had to start the day off going uphill. So that was brutal in itself. And my knees were completely shot by that time. And so I'm praying. And real tears, real emotion, and just trying to figure out, you know, Lord, why am I here? You know, I'm not hearing from you. Arguing with myself about having to be the type of person, having the type of personality where the time that I really hear from God is when I am truly broken, and realizing that this is the process God's going to take me through. So not only am I physically and mentally just destroyed at this point, mind you, the second day in, day and a half, I should say, because we started late the first day, so I didn't last long. So I'm having the discussion within myself that, holy crap, if I haven't heard from you yet, how much more broken are you going to make me before I'm able to hear from you? So that fear is going through my head. And so we go, and Brian leaves, abandons me, rightfully so. But no, he went at his pace. We both knew that there were going to be times when we were alone, and he would go far enough ahead where he was like the big daddy. He'd look back, make sure I was still moving forward and not digging a hole, burying myself somewhere. So then day three, which is Tuesday, things got really, really real for me. Tuesday was my burning bush moment. I think I cried more that day than, I shouldn't say that. I cried a lot that day, and I joked about it Wednesday night that I was glad that I was sweating so much so you couldn't tell the difference, but not knowing what my eyes looked like as far as the redness, probably you could, but there was one time that I was crying so bad. At this time, I was fighting the pain still, but God was actually speaking to me. And the things he was telling me were like, wow, you know. I can't continue. I joke around, and I hope you guys don't always take me seriously when I joke about my toughness or whatever, finishing the Spartan races or doing stuff that I've done in my past that I don't mean to come across prideful if I do. It's just in fun. And so as the Lord is speaking to me, he's telling me that I can't keep going the way I'm going. I can't continue to operate in regards to the business, taking on the responsibilities that I'm doing. He reminded me of a lot of things that took place in my past. Hiking Mount Katahdin with basically nothing and dragging my wife through it reminded me of the importance of preparation. This particular hike, me not preparing, that was more of a dig. There was a couple of studies that a men's breakfast and not last Wednesday, but the last time I taught, that my preparation was definitely lacking. I thought I knew enough about the topic that I thought I did enough and could kind of wing through it. And I ended up honestly just not glorifying God the way I should have. So he's showing me these things. He's asking me, what exactly are you trying to finish? You know, what in this life are you trying to accomplish? Are you trying to finish the goals that you set forth, or are you here in this hike right now because you want to finish strong with me? And as he's just reminding me of all the things I missed out on as a dad because I was so focused on work, I've had similar, not as in-depth conversation with Brian as I was having with God at the time, but those types of things that haunted me because of where my relationship is with my kids. Not now, but where my relationship was with my wife as well. You know, in my mind, I'm providing a better life for my family. I'm working. They're able to go on these trips. They're playing sports. They're doing all these things. But I'm missing every single one of them. I don't know that I went on hardly any vacations with them. I made it 50% is probably generous to the number of sporting events I made it to because of work. In the meantime, she was, you know, a substitute teacher. She was always involved at the school. She was the, I don't know what they're called, but the fundraising person for the hockey team and the football team and all this stuff. I mean, just involved constantly. Had an amazing relationship with the kids, actually to the point where I was jealous and probably even angry to some degree. So as we're continuing on and he's showing me these things, and I actually shut up long enough to let him speak, and I start breaking down even more. And I mean, it was bad. I mean, I had snot hanging off my nose. It was one of those uncontrollable things. At the same time, though, I say that, but it was just an amazing experience where I was so broken on what he was showing me, but I was humbled and broken that he was actually speaking to me. It was just, I mean, even now it kind of works me up a little bit. I'm going through that moment, and I happen to look up, and there's a guy coming down the mountain, and I'm like, oh, this is not a good time for me to have to pass somebody right now. So I'm doing the guy thing, trying to get rid of the snot out of my nose, and normally as people walk by, you kind of make eye contact, and hey, have a safe hike, you know, enjoy yourself. It's generally fairly quick as they pass by, because they're just in a mission, because they know they got to make it to a certain point. I'm trying to have a mission, but this time my head was down. It was the fastest interaction I had on the whole trip with somebody. It was, hi, and away I went, because I knew I still had snot hanging off me, and it was a very humbling and embarrassing moment. Obviously, him not knowing what was going on, and then feeling like I would have to explain. He probably would have thought I was nuts or something. So I get to the top of, I believe that was Fourth Mountain, and I told you again Wednesday night. I get to the top. Brian looks at me as I walk by. He says, "We're not making it to our food drop." And I go away. I know. I'm pretty disgusted by it. And I don't remember exactly what his words were, but it was basically, "Yeah, me too." And that was it for me. And I made light of it Wednesday, but it just, God warned me before I went on this trip that I was going to break down. He was going to break me down in front of Brian. And he did exactly that. That comment, I have never been that guy. And I don't mean that to be bad, but I've always been the one to push, whether it's from behind or up front, whatever. And I knew that I was holding this trip up. I was the one that didn't prepare. Brian busted his butt all summer long to make sure he could succeed at this trip. And even though I knew God had a purpose and a process that he was taking us both through individually, my pride was telling me I failed. I let Brian down. I let my family down. I let the people that knew I was going down in my own head, you know, because you have this perception of yourself, or you have a perception that you think other people have of you, and now you've just destroyed that perception. And we sat there for probably 45 minutes while I just puked out my stuff. It was a good moment where I thought, Brian and I have a good friendship. We have our moments where, because of our personalities, that we bump heads, and probably wrongfully so, more on my part, because I am under him in the biblical sense. On this trip, I was absolutely under him. But it was good because he allowed God to use, not that he doesn't, but he allowed God to use him in the process that God was taking me through, and even said some things that God was even already telling me that I have to say no more. You know, he basically repeated it almost word for word, which was good in the sense that for me it was confirmation. Good in the sense that God was already telling me that I wasn't supposed to finish the physical part of this trip, which was killing me, even though I was killing myself. Brian made that comment as he was giving us our scenarios of, you know, kind of getting me out. So I was uplifted in the sense that, you know, I'm mentally and physically, I'm telling myself, ah, he's on board, going to get me out of here. And God wasn't done speaking. He continued. Brian hung with me for a little bit, but then again, moved forward. So just reaffirming that the importance of finishing life, and life in the sense God wants a relationship with us. He wants a relationship with us beyond our understanding. And in Hebrews 12, I'm just going to read a couple of verses. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Therefore we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame. Jesus is the ultimate finisher. He went through more pain than I could ever imagine. This endurance, this race, I shared it on Facebook, and I kind of think it was fitting, a Trey Gowdy speech. I mean, that guy nailed it. He nailed what he was talking about, and being a Christian is absolutely the hardest thing we could ever take on. It is tremendously hard with battling everything around us. I mean, every day, every moment of our life, we are surrounded by noise, we are surrounded by hate, we are surrounded by desires and I can't think of the word I want, but just enticements that draw us, whether it's women or fancy new things. And there's nothing wrong with, well, if you're married or not married, I guess there is something wrong with looking at other women, but as far as the new things and the objects and whatever, there's absolutely nothing wrong with being successful in life, whether it's business or a nice home or a nice vehicle or nice clothes, or there's nothing wrong with any of that unless it's before God, unless it's taking priority over the relationship that he wants to have with us. And that, I've always been a firm believer in prayer, and I've gone through droughts where my prayer life has suffered, but he definitely woke me up to he wants more, that my time is distracted by too many other things and taking me away from what he wants to have with me. I think, yeah, we're all married here. Well, I'm sorry, not you, not yet. But imagine your wife. Imagine the relationship that you have with your wife. And if her time, if she was giving her time to something or somebody else more than she was giving it to you, the hurt, the pain that that would cause within yourself, the feeling of being left out, or the feeling of not being wanted, not being desired. That's exactly, God created us in his image. So I have to believe that's exactly how God feels when we do that to him. Because our marriages are a representation of what he wants with us. For me, it was just so real. There were guys that are here, there are guys that aren't here, that the Lord brought to my heart during that hike, that through me overhearing something or just conversation with you, that instantly came to mind. And it's like, man, they're dangerously close to where I am, or they're there, or we just let so much get in the way of that relationship. In Psalm 14:2, I'm going to jump to a bunch of scriptures here. I'm not going to get super in depth, but more or less just to confirm. The Lord looks down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any who understand, who seek God. Now that psalm has a lot to do with atheists, people who don't believe, people who possibly could be seeking God. But as I read that, how many of us, how many Christians really understand that? Really understand the importance of having a relationship with God? Not just a on-the-surface relationship where you come to church and you hear the sermon and, oh, that was good and that spoke to me, and but then you go back into the world and that's it. It didn't go any deeper, it didn't make any changes, it just affected you right then and there at that moment. Are we truly seeking God? I mean, he knows everything. He already knows your heart. He knows it better than you do. He knew my heart going into this hike far better than I did. He exposed some things to me that just ripped me apart. And most of it was my relationship with him and what I was focused on in life that I was allowing to distract me from what he has even better than what he's already given me. I want to kind of switch gears a little bit to prove his heart in what he wants for us. Psalm 91:1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. To me, that was indicating the how we are so loved and protected by the Almighty himself, the creator of all things, and are able to have his protection and have his blessing. Mark 11:24, ask in prayer and you shall receive. For me, that was, we've all heard it, you know, if we're asking within his will. But as he was speaking to me, I was struggling with, okay, Lord, you showed me all this stuff. You know my personality. You know I have years of habits created. I need you to show me how to implement everything you've shown me. So for me, 11:24, that's my prayer. That's what I'm going to be asking for, is help me to implement what you show me. Help me, Lord, to make you a priority over everything. Everything. And then a lot of us, myself included, you know, you hear of the Billy Grahams, the people in the Bible, David, Caleb, Moses, Abraham, great men of the Bible. And so for me, as I'm studying, are we good enough? Are we good enough to have that type of relationship? And the answer is absolutely yes. Hebrews 4:16. Well, if I can get to it. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. He's telling us to come boldly. Psalm 27:10 talks about the Lord receiving me. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take care of me. Job 34:19. He is not a God of partiality. He doesn't care if you're rich, poor. He doesn't care what color you are. He doesn't care if you're healthy or sick. He just wants a relationship with us. Genesis 2:18-19 is where God is bringing the animals to Adam. This is God the Almighty, God the Creator. He's created Adam, but yet he's bringing those things to Adam, not the other way around. He's allowing Adam to name the animals. You can't ask for a better picture of his desire and heart to want to have a relationship with us, to the point where he himself is coming to us. Hebrews 4:13, it talks about nothing is hidden, all things are naked. So again, he knows exactly where we're at. So there's no, in my mind, as I was going through these things, What are we trying to hide from the world, when, whether it's our image or our weaknesses or whatever, God already knows all that. He knows where your heart is. So he knows you that well. We know the scripture where he knows every hair on your head. So he has proven to us over and over again that we're good enough. We're good enough to come to him. We're good enough to have that relationship where we can truly hear from him. And then to go a step further, I have it titled as God Desires Us. In the beginning, God called out to Adam, Genesis 3:9. He walked with Adam. He addressed Adam. This was after the whole apple thing, or the fruit eating of the tree, forbidden tree. He still pursued Adam. He still wanted to give Adam the opportunity to be honest. Who, I would love to know what would have happened if Adam was honest and took the accountability. I would have loved to know how God would have handled that. John 3:16, he gave his son for us. I mean, what father, what person for that matter, is going to give their son? What other picture is there? What other perfect picture is there to show that he desires a relationship with us so bad? Because he knows of our imperfection that we can't have a relationship with him without this perfect sacrifice. So because he desires us so much, he gave up his only son to give us the opportunity to have a relationship. Hebrews 12:2 again, he endured the cross. Genesis 1:26 through 30, God created man in his image. I mean, if he didn't want a relationship, why on earth would he create us in his own image? Why would he give us the same emotions, the same strengths and weaknesses? Well, not that he has weaknesses, but why would he do that? Matthew 11:28 through 30. Come to me, my burden is light. He wants our burdens. I had to pray constantly for strength and endurance during this hike. There were times where I was ready to just flat out give up, and I know from the bottom of my heart, in my brain, I was thinking of all the videos I've watched over the years about sucking it up and pushing through its mental toughness, blah, blah, blah. And I had military guys in my head, you know, going through stuff and fighting through it and coming back alive. And I'm thinking to myself, man, I'm a loser. I can't even finish this stupid hike. And it was absolutely his strength and his endurance, his desire to finish what it was that he had for me during this hike, that he gave me the strength. He answered my prayer to help me continue to make it to the point of the hike that I was supposed to make it to. I'll wrap up with this. Jeremiah 29:11. Jim brought this up in, I think it's the same scripture, in his teaching about doubt. Never get there. For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. I will be found by you, says the Lord. When we pray and we're out to dinner, or it's here, wherever it is you're praying, I've caught myself doing this. I've sometimes pray out of obedience. I sometimes pray out of obligation, or it's a prayer that was not done with all of my heart. It was kind of repetitious. Lord, bless this food to our body. Lord, bless the fellowship. He already knows. He already knows if our heart was in it or not. I challenge us to examine those moments. Do we take the time to truly expose our heart where it comes to Him, whether it's boldly in brokenness, boldly in a need, or boldly with a desire for Him to be with us during our family meal at the restaurant, or whatever the case may be. I can't stress enough, and I know you guys are all seasoned. You've been coming here for a long time. You've been to other churches. You've heard other teachings from online or whatever the case. But this is God we're talking about. This is the cream of the crop, the guy that created everything, gave us life, gave us our kids, gave us our families, our jobs, pulled us through our trials, and yes, let us go through those trials because He's a good dad. But at the end of the day, we're all sitting here because of it. How? I'm going to make a promise to God right here and now, and to you guys. There isn't going to be a prayer. There isn't going to be an interaction, whether it's reading His word, taking notes, sitting in a Bible study that's being taught by somebody else, that I am not focused and expecting Him to speak to me, expecting Him to change me or to use me to help somebody else, that He is worthy of true focus when it comes to our prayers, true focus when it comes to this life. What it is, and I am as guilty as anybody, I am easily distracted with life, with business, with the stress of trying to complete goals and keep customers happy and dealing with the drama of each individual employee. Those things, still trying to live a Christian life and be a representative, but those things are a distraction. He wants to be so intimately involved with us that He wants to know, He wants to, what pair of socks should I wear today? So if He wants to be involved in something as simple as that, how is it that we can't have Him involved in the major decisions in our life? How are we not truly seeking Him? I'm going to make sure that when I pray, Brian prayed this morning for breakfast, and I could tell when he prayed, it was the real deal. It wasn't just a prayer. It wasn't just words. He meant it. I've heard prayers from other guys, myself included, that were just repetitious. I mean, yeah, I want God to join us, But it says here, with all your heart. I take that literally. When we're coming to Him and we're praying, how much when we're praying are we thinking about, this is a sign from God that it's raining so hard that I'm allowed to go a little bit over, because I don't think you're going on the hike. Right. I feel that, guys, we let life get in the way. We let so many things distract us. And I don't think, I can comfortably say that I don't think every single prayer we say is all of our heart, is from all of our heart. I think God is worthy that when we come to Him, that He deserves all. I say that, I'm reminded yesterday that I started a conversation with Jody and my phone went off and I went right straight to my phone. I didn't even finish the conversation because I felt I had to answer the email first. She blew up at me, deservingly so. I believe God is the same way. We're driving down the road, we're praying to God, and the phone rings. What's more important, the phone ringing and answering the phone call? We're the ones that initiated the conversation with God. We're the ones that came to Him in prayer. Oh, hang on, God. I got to take this call. It could be, who knows, something as stupid as, what time are we having dinner, or are you coming over, or, you know, I don't know. Yeah. I think it's disrespectful. We have the nerve to come to Him I don't care if it's the littlest of thing. We have the nerve to come to Him and we allow ourselves to get distracted during the process of the actual prayer itself. Or we have the nerve to come to Him and our heart's not even in it. So why are you even bothering? You're kind of half-heartedly praying for something. Kind of similar to maybe half-heartedly doing our job or half-heartedly serving here or half-heartedly whatever, loving your wife the way you're supposed to. God's the real deal, guys. He's more real than any one of us sitting here. And He showed me countless times throughout my life through the things that I've been through, right from the time I was born, that He wants me, He has a purpose for me, He has a desire to know me. He's pulled me through so many things, and yet I have allowed life to get in the way of the relationship that He desires, that He, in these scriptures that I just shared with you, there's proof through every one of our lives that He wants more. He wants more of us. He wants to give us more. Brian, he's walking the last day on the way out. He's ahead of me. And he was enjoying the whole, hey, Nick, hurry up, get down here. I got to show you something. Knowing that I was moving at about half a mile an hour. And he stumbled across. He was fascinated with mushrooms. But he stumbled across this spider web. Great big spider web right on the edge of the trail. And an amazing analogy. That spider, I don't know how long it takes a spider to make a web. Charlotte was very fast at it. So I'm assuming the spider in real life is even better. But he made the analogy that spider busted his butt. He made that web. He did the work. But now it's up to God to supply the fly. Guys, we got to do the work. I was out there, and it was fitting the timing that that analogy came up, because that was one of the things that God was speaking to me about. You know, I went out there. I wanted a burning bush moment. My pride wanted to finish the hike. But I had to continue on the physical part of the hike, the mental part of the hike, for him to meet me, because he wasn't going to meet me on my terms. He was going to meet me on his terms. And in this particular case, because of who I am, hopefully who I was, he had to break me. He took parts of my body away from me that I never anticipated, because he knew that was the parts of the body that was going to slow me down enough for the timing. It was the perfect timing that it was going to take to get me to hear from him, for him to deal with me, for him to show me that he loved me, to confirm that he wanted more from me and more with him, with my relationship, and to get me out of the wilderness. Because as at that tail end of it, I was battling, wanting to finish, and Satan messing with my head about being a failure. And he said, it's okay. You're not supposed to finish physically. You're not supposed to finish this hike. I need you to, you have finished the most important part of this hike, which was having this moment with me. That's what we need to be focused on, what we're finishing. Finishing being that good and faithful servant, but finishing in the sense that when we leave this place, whether it's through the rapture or our time is up, that we finished our relationship with God. Our focus was him, not everything else. He'll take care of all the other stuff. So with that, I'm done.